Blessings again as we together think about God's Word and spend this hour in time reflecting with our eternal Lord. I'm always amazed that Bible stories are sometimes just sort of normal. We've heard this story, for instance, of Jesus walking on the water. If you've been a Lutheran very long, you've heard it many times. You know the story. You could tell it back to me. But what I like to do is think about some of the things that went on in between the lines that are in the Bible. Because it doesn't say every cotton-picking thing that happened. There's a lot more interaction that goes on. And when you think about it, it makes the story a little more vivid. For instance, this one starts out immediately after. Immediately after what? It was last week's gospel lesson. Here's a test. Who knows what last week's gospel lesson was about? Thank you. You get a prize. Feeding of the 5,000 people plus. Okay. Jesus and the disciples and dividing up the bread and the fish and all that. You remember that story? So a big story, big event, lots and lots of people around. Immediately after that, I don't know how soon immediately is, but probably pretty fast, huh? Our gospel lesson takes place today. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get in. You didn't even catch that. He made the disciples get into the boat. That's pretty strong. The Greek is even stronger. He compelled the disciples to get into the boat. Why? Read between the lines. The people are out there. Jesus is here. Disciples are here. And suddenly Jesus says, I won't get you disciples. Get in the boat and sail to the other side of the lake. I'll meet you there. They say, what? Are you crazy? How are you going to get over there if we take the boat and we leave? And all the people are here yet. And, you know, no, we need to stay and protect you, Jesus. No, get into the boat and go. But, Jesus, are you sure? This sounds a little bit out of the ordinary. Get into the boat and go. You see, you catch the force then? He had to beat them up almost to get them to get in the boat and take off without him and leave him alone with the 5,000 people or whoever was left. I don't know. They were trying to protect him. That was nice of them, huh? But Jesus didn't have that in mind. He wanted them to leave. He was getting ready for the next story, wasn't he? Now, see, you leave, apostles. Leave me alone here. Okay. He forced them to go. Okay. Wow. Then Jesus dismissed the crowds. Well, how did he do that? That's a lot of people. You can't even yell loud enough to touch all those people. He dismissed the crowds. All I can think of is the day had been largely gone. It was getting towards evening, and the crowds probably knew, too, they needed to get home or wherever their motel was. I don't know. You have to disperse. The day is ending. He dismissed the crowds somehow. And he walked up by himself into the hills. Now, they're not huge mountains. They're the hills. So there he is, you know, to pray. Now, did Jesus need to pray or did he want to pray? Yes. He wanted to set aside to pray. Wow. If Jesus took that kind of a time and opportunity to pray, what does it say about our prayer time? Yeah, sometimes we don't have prayer as a high a priority in our life, maybe as we should. I sometimes sort of envy those people who are in prayer groups through my many churches I've been at, in prayer groups, and they get together at a certain time, and they spend an hour in prayer. Now, I don't know exactly what they do all the time. I know they discuss their prayers too. But they spend a lot of time praying for individuals in the church, concerns in the world, etc., bringing the hearts and minds together to the Lord in prayer. One commentator says that Jesus prayed before important events. Pretty good line to follow, huh? Before important events, good time to pray. I must admit to you, I probably don't pray as much as I should either. You know, I pray in little bits and pieces here and there, and life sort of flits by. And I had a pastor friend of mine. In fact, it was Pastor Lothar Torno of Christ Costa Mesa. Anybody remember him? You remember him, huh? He told me he always prayed at stoplights. I said, what? Do you close your eyes? No, keeps his eyes open, but while he's waiting for the red light, he prays. Not bad, huh? It's a time. It's set, and he's used to doing it. You know, it's a regular thing. So it's good for us to pray at regular times. I pray a little bit here and there during the day when I hear about certain things. I guess my main time is prayer in the evening. You know, and I have just recently developed what I call my cancer prayer list. And because I seem to be hearing about too many of my friends and acquaintances with cancer, so I started that cancer prayer list, go through them mentally. I've added a few others now, too, that are friends of mine and fellow pastors that are going through some tough times. So I have a list I go through. Once in a while, I fall asleep while I'm praying. And I used to feel pretty guilty about that, you know, like, oh, dear. You know, maybe the Lord doesn't accept my prayer until I get to the amen. But I think he does anyway. And then when you think about it, it's a pretty nice way to fall asleep, huh? In prayer. So I don't feel guilty about that anymore. Okay. So back to Jesus in the story of the gospel lesson today. So Jesus is up in the hills at night alone praying. Don't know if he had a flashlight or a torch or anything. It was night. How late? Well, we're given a little clue because the next thing that happened is Jesus comes walking on the water. And it says it's in the fourth watch of the night between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. That's late, early morning, isn't it? Somewhere in that time, Jesus comes walking on the water. I have a preschool song. Then came Jesus a-walking on the water. Anybody know that song? Yeah, okay. Jesus came walking on the water, and he was glowing the way I envision it. He was glowing because it's dark out there. And that's another thing I don't quite understand. These guys are out in the boat in the middle of the night. They don't have a flashlight either. Did they take a torch with them on the boat? I don't know. It doesn't sound too safe, but I don't know. It's just sort of crazy to me. But said the boat was being beset or attacked is more like the Greek. The boat was being attacked by the waves and the storm. And so it wasn't making very good headway across the waters where it wanted to go. Maybe that's why they're still at 3 a.m. They're still out there on the water. Back to Jesus. Can you imagine it? You're dark as all get out there, you know. And the wind and the waves, and then you see a spot out there glowing. You know, like the glow sticks, huh? You know, but that's not supposed to be out there. You know, we're out here in the middle of the lake, and here's this glowing, and it's getting bigger and bigger. Oh my gosh, what is it? It's a ghost. The Greek word for ghost is phantasma, from which we get phantom. It's a phantom. It's a ghost. Did they believe in ghosts? I guess so. I don't know. They had to explain it somehow, this thing getting closer. And then, you know, they were having a tough time with that. And they were getting so scared that finally grown men were going, ah! Screaming out with a loud voice. See, you don't figure that out when you read it and you don't think of it like that. But grown men were screaming. That's weird, because they thought it was so different, so strange out here in the middle of the water. Jesus immediately, there's the second immediately in the text, immediately calls out to them, you know, have no fear. Well, what are the words? Take heart. Sort of like, pull yourselves together, guys. That's the way I interpret it, you know. Don't be afraid. Oh, yeah, that's easy to say. It is I. Well, did they recognize his voice? Who's the I? I think they recognized his voice, huh? Or maybe he was getting close enough they could see by now. I don't know. So now they think that it is Jesus. It is I. And so Peter says, if it is you, well, that sounds like it's a little doubtful, doesn't it? If it is you, the Greek scholars, however, tell me you could translate it to, since it is you. Okay, that makes a little more sense. Since it is you, if it is you, bid me to come out and walk on the water with you. And I say, Peter, are you crazy? Why would you want to request something like that? You know, and I know, you can't walk on water. Jesus can, that's obvious. But Peter, no, his faith was way up on the barometer, wasn't it? Way up there. Lord, since it is you, if it is you, bid me to come out so I can walk on the water with you. Jesus says, okay, come on. Peter gets out of the boat. Oh, the other disciples must have been thinking, oh man, we're going to have to rescue him really quick. Gets out of the boat and walks over to Jesus. And then he notices, it says in the Bible, the wind. Well, it wasn't the wind he noticed, but the waves, I think, maybe, or the wind whipping over the waves, you know, like you see off the coast sometimes when it's, what do they call that, an offshore wind, you know, flipping those waves. Something like that suddenly caught his eye and scared him. And what does it say? It doesn't say he sunk. He started to sink. He's going down, I think, little by little. And suddenly Peter says, ah! Right? Jesus immediately reaches out his hand. Peter, what caused you to lose your faith? You had faith that you could do it, and doubt came in. Jesus pulled him back up to water level. Then they continued walking together. Do you think it was hand in hand, arm in arm? I don't know. Back to the boat, crawled in the boat. I think Jesus let Peter go first. I sort of think that way. Jesus crawls into the boat too. Then the sea was calm. Man, that is a story and a half, huh? Then the sea was calm. It was still dark as all get out. I don't know whether Jesus was still glowing or not. Doesn't say. But they were safely together in the boat. O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? It seems to me that's an apt thing for us to remember and take home this week. Why do we doubt? Well, sometimes the affairs of life, let's take health problems, and we have all had health problems, right, of some sort, and sometimes they get pretty heavy, and they occupy our brain and our mind about 100%. In pain, maybe, or you break something, or you've got a surgery, and wow, it occupies you, and you maybe even doubt. Can the Lord really help me? First of all, you have to think of the Lord, because sometimes we get so occupied with immediacy of things happening, we forget to pray. It happens to me, so I'm sure it happens to you. So, you know, we got that to overcome. And then when we think about the Lord, the doubt, you know, well, we doubt because others have prayed for this same thing and it didn't help. Or they died. or the situation stayed the same or something. We know of cases like that, and maybe it's happened to us. So all of these things together are the wind and the waves that occupy us and cause us to doubt. Jesus would say, have faith, trust, it is I. I'm here to help you. And that's one of the tough things of life, and one of the things that Job is facing in our Old Testament reading too. The difficulties of life and how they interact with the Lord, and is he around, and how does he interact, and all of that. Trust and faith are still the key things that we're to take from this lesson today. The Lord will see you through it. Disciples, pay attention. The Lord's going to help you get through this time. Peter, you didn't drown, did you? Disciples, you got to land, didn't you, safely? The Lord will be with you. Does that mean we're going to get everything we want or pray for? No. You and I have all had experiences like that. You don't get everything you pray for, maybe at that time or in that way, maybe in a different way, maybe there's around it. Maybe bad things still happen, because they do, don't they? And certainly death comes, because we all die. It's only a matter of when and where. So life goes on, but the Lord is still with us. We say through thick and thin, huh? And in our, I noticed in our hymn we just sang, the middle verse, it is the chart and compass that all life's voyage through, mid mists and rocks and quicksands, still guides, O Christ, to you. Through what? The mist, fogginess, rocks, quicksands, still the Lord guides us through to our end. So we've got to conclude, along with the disciples, truly you, Jesus, are the Son of God. You have powers, you have strength, you have stamina far beyond anything we can imagine. Peter found out some of the length of it by walking on water, but I'm not about to step out on the ocean and see if I can walk on water. No, I don't think that's the point of it either. The point is faith and trust through life, no matter what comes along. We can live confidently. I think that's the point. Take heart. Jesus is with us. Amen. We continue now with the